Blog Talk Radio.
Since you don't believe that he was God, but Jesus.
I believe that he was a leader of the people, asking the people to return to the teachings of God.
But not God.
No more than you and I. But we're all children of God.
Yeah, we are.
But the message, we all believe in the same message.
Yeah. Different though, different.
Someone who has promoted death as the media darling.
Doctors may prescribe life-ending drugs in 4 states right now. Efforts in other states to pass so-called right-to-die legislation came up short this year as well. The town of Caswell, Missouri, dealing with the impact of heavy rains in the region. Missouri State Patrol Corporal John Lukanoff says flooding caused damage in Roaring River State Park near Caswell.
I know of one camper trailer that was not recovered, that was actually completely submerged and moved from its campsite, and a few others were damaged.
In Indiana, heavy rain inundated parts of the state, leading to flood warnings and the rescue of several people in Indianapolis. Bit of a rough ride in Asian stock markets today. Right now, Dow futures indicating it could be a slow start. They are down about 140 points, and this is SRN News.
Time for a new grill. Don't make the mistake by grabbing one on sale at the big box store. Go to besthotgrill.com. They make the Solaire Infrared Grill. These amazing gas grills will heat up to over 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes to provide professional chef-quality performance in your own backyard. Now, Solaire is not for everyone. Solaire is sold only by the finest specialty retailers who recognize Solaire as the only hot, fast grill. If you live in an area without a Solaire dealer, Solaire has a demo program where you can try a mini version of the full-size grill in your own backyard, grilling the foods you like without a salesman looking over your shoulder. It is made with the same design, materials, components, and performance of the big Solaires, but in a size Solaire can easily ship to you. Try before you buy so you'll know firsthand why Solaire is the last grill you'll ever purchase. Learn more about the demo program and these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com. Solaire Infrared at besthotgrill.com.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter defending President Obama's strategy to defeat ISIS yesterday on Capitol Hill. SRN's Linda Kenyon reports.
Secretary Carter says he's confident about the U.S. strategy to defeat ISIS.
We will achieve ISIL's lasting defeat.
But the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Arizona Republican John McCain, says he's not as confident, especially when it comes to defeating ISIS in Iraq.
It is unclear why the latest gradual escalation of effort, the deployment of a few hundred additional advisors to Anbar, will make the difference that our previous efforts failed to achieve.
Secretary Carter counters training local forces is the best solution, not beefing up of U.S. forces. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Even as lawmakers in South Carolina consider removing the Confederate flag from the State House grounds, a North Florida county has decided to go in the opposite direction. The Marion County Commission voting unanimously yesterday to again fly the Confederate flag. This is SRN News.
This number right there.
The House has easily passed legislation to provide more military equipment to Jordan in its ongoing battle against ISIS terrorists.
Virginia Democrat Gerald Connolly.
For the next 3 years, the bill would treat Jordan as a NATO member.
Speeding up congressional approval of weapons transfers to Jordan, Florida's Ileana Ross-Layton.
Congress must do everything that we can to help our friends defend themselves and defeat the scourge of terror.
The legislation sailed through the House on a voice vote. It now goes to the Senate.
SRN's Wally Hines. Witnesses say yesterday's collision between an F-16 and a 2-seat Cessna over South Carolina sent plane parts and debris falling to the ground.
I had left the airport just a few minutes before 11, and the Berkeley County Airport had radio contact with them, and 2 minutes after 11 is when the collision occurred.
That is ahead of the rescue squad chief, Bill Salisbury. More details at SRNnews.com.
put the mics on live.
Mitch Mallett, welcome to the Morning Edge, and here's Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Oh, my goodness, what a morning. But we do have a sad note to give out. Mary Cantrell, a former guest on this show, is in hospice now, hopefully, and some people do survive at hospice. She was a candidate. She got elected in District 5, and she is in hospice with cancer. She was head of a director at the MTI, Manatee Technical Institute, and she defeated Julianna Aranabar for that seat in the school board. She has been keeping herself warm at the meetings with a heater because the cancer has affected her whole system, and she's been suffering quietly and not doing much on the board, but it is her condition. When she did the interview with us, Mitch, she indicated she had been in an orphanage. She was kind of a thrown away kid, but she survived a really tough childhood because of that, and she's come forward and made a life of some consequence and of some significance.
Oh, absolutely.
And, well, you know, it's been tough on her.
I've gotten to know her over the years,
yeah,
politically involved, and my prayers are out to her.
Well, there we go. She is not, you know, her political power and her political abilities may be greater than her legislative abilities, but as a human being, she's in this Neverland, or are you going to make it through, or are you not, in terms of hospice. So the best to her family and to the fellow board members who said that she's going to be remembered and stay on the board no matter what until she actually dies. So that was a statement of one of the other board members. And we wish the best to her family. And if anyone knows Mary Cantrell and wants to call in her behalf, please do. Now, another positive thing in one way, there's a couple of things quickly here. It shows the Germans as being a bit hypocritical. In 1953, February 27th, they signed an agreement that effectively cut the country's overall debts to foreign creditors in half.
You're referring to Turkey, aren't you? Their attitude towards Turkey.
No, I'm talking
about Germany, but...
I'm talking about their attitudes toward Greece.
I'm sorry, Greece.
I think we got a little bit mixed up there. And beyond serving as a reminder of German hypocrisy, the image offers a more important lesson. These sorts of things have been dealt with successfully before, and we have till Sunday now for them to cut a deal, and they could do the same thing that was done for them. The reason Hitler came along, frankly, nobody should understand better than Germany. It's not just that they benefit from the deal in 1953, which underpinned Germany's post-war economic miracle. 20 years earlier, Germany defaulted on its debts from World War I after undergoing a bout of hyperinflation and economic depression that helped usher Hitler into power. And this BS that conservatives love to pound people into the ground is the problem. This vengeful attitude. Forgiving the debt is a merciful good thing, because if you've been paying debt for several years, you paid off the fundamental basis of that debt. You're piling on interest later on. I was in the loan business for a short time after I left college, and I saw people ground under by huge interest rates that we allowed in this country, we still allow, by loan companies. And it was unforgiven debt that caused the problem. I had 22 people that were on what was called a done list in this loan company. And I'll name the company. I don't think it's there anymore anyway. It was called Premier Loan in Pekin, Illinois. And the bastards that ran that company didn't give a damn about the people. I went to the different individuals who were on the done list, and I got them to, I told them simply, steal the money, borrow from a relative, go to a bank, but never, never borrow from a loan company if you want to avoid and get out of permanent debt. This stuff we pass for, this is a Christian nation, we can't forgive debt. What kind of, that's the difference supposedly between Christianity under Christian law, which is love one another and forgive one another, and Mosaic law, which is vengeance forever. You shall not, or you're going to get your hands or head cut off, or you're going to be stoned.
Well, you know, in the Old Testament, it's called the Jubilee. First of all, there's debt forgiveness every 7 years, and then clearly every 49 years.
Well, they certainly don't abide by it, do they? You see, too much vengeance. The Middle East fights all the time over the righteous vengeance of Mosaic law. And if everybody's got an excuse to keep the law the same. If you do not change that law, those stipulations are fine, but they're not really carried forward, Mitch. I mean, I agree with you. That's wonderful if and when it ever happens. And we hear this.
I'm just saying there's biblical references in the Old Testament to forgiveness. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm going to leave it at that.
We're in agreement here. I know that's true. I agree with you. But it's not carried forward, and this is a good example of it. They paid the fundamental debt in Greece already. That's the fundamental monies, the original monies.
What you're referring to is the original principal that they borrowed. They paid that all back and more. Really, what's owed now is the interest. That was first started.
All it is. And the only ones who are going to get hurt are the creditors who gained their money back already. This is nonsense.
Well, Europe should be looking to raise Greece back up and not oppressing them. But
yeah, well, that's exactly the point. And frankly, by kicking Greece out, they set a terrible precedent. Spain and Italy and Portugal are also in the crosshairs of this exceeding debt. They're going to be looking to some relief as well. And the creditors go hang. The creditors we're talking about are protecting the banks. This is why the burn is going to burn people. Bernie Sanders, that's his message in a nutshell. Burn the creditors to a large extent. Burn the banks. The banks won't go under. They've gotten their fundamental money back, the principle that you mentioned, Mitch. The other thing is that's kind of interesting. We've got a good Secretary of State. She's
John Kerry?
No, Secretary of State of Florida. Florida's Attorney General, Attorney General Pam Bondi is trying to stop. You remember our guest on Monday? He talked about a voter initiative on solar.
Right.
And you're going to be working
Scott.
For solar. Yeah. Scott, what's his last name?
Eggenfield. For Marisol Solar.
Right. That would allow state residents to buy solar generator energy from their neighbors instead of the state's big electric utilities. Bondi has come to the aid of FPL to oppose a ballot amendment that would prevent the government and state utilities from imposing legal barriers to people who choose to power their own homes in a way that eliminates doing business with one of the big providers in the state, FPL. Florida's so-called conservative lawmakers cherish opportunities to talk about freedom of choice, the freedom of free markets, and the need to abolish burdensome government regulation. This is especially true when it comes to dismantling public education, making it easier to carry concealed weapons, guns, and or keeping the poor from being paid a living wage or getting medical insurance.
But when it comes to the solar, really there's bipartisan support on here. And the Tea Party is actually voicing a strong opinion on this. The liberals, the Democrats, We're on the same.
Well, without
light here, so it's really bipartisan support against.
That may be, but Bondi is taking our state monies, using revenue to finance her efforts to go out and stop this legislation. This is a public petition going forward, and she wants to impede. This is nonsense. But this is what we got for representation. So here, those are the couple of things. We're going to go to Affordable Care here pretty soon, and we got.
Yeah, we have a very special guest.
Is he on the line right now?
He is, and let me introduce him before I turn his mic on.
Okay.
And this is, and I've got to know Patrick over the last few years.
What's his full name?
Patrick Cassell. I hope I pronounced it right. He's with the Multicare Group. He's the broker, I guess. I mean, he's the owner. 25-year insurance broker specializing in individual and group benefits and ACA expert. That's the letters that really mean Obamacare.
I mean,
and he's also a lead consultant for two lawsuits in Nevada
against Xerox for instrumentally getting those who couldn't get coverage through the exchange covered. And we're going to let him talk more about what's going on with Xerox. And there's going to be things I agree and disagree with him. He certainly doesn't. We have some disagreements and agreements. And one thing we both agree on.
Let's find out what we agree on.
One thing that we both agree on is that Obamacare certainly needs to be continually to be tweaked. And
I think we need to understand some fundamentals on Obamacare, but we'll get to that with Mr. Cantrip. Carell,
all right, hey,
how do you spell his last name?
Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's Patrick Casale, C-A-S-A-L-E.
C-A-S-S-E-L-L or?
No, C-A-S-A-L-E.
A-L-E. Oh, okay. That's
yes, sir.
Interesting spelling. So, Patrick, where are you located and what is your background?
I'm in Las Vegas. I've been health insurance. I've been selling insurance for 25 years, but health insurance has been my specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been quite involved with getting people enrolled, whether it be through the exchanges where they got subsidy.
Let me stop you 1 second. That is huge, because that is one of the areas that people just do not understand.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because in simple principle, if you're between the 138th and the 250th percentile of the federal poverty level, the government does participate and allow you what's called an advanced premium tax credit. So they're giving you your tax credits up front, so your premiums get reduced. But what's really interesting about those two numbers is there's another tax credit that most people are unaware of called the cost sharing reduction, or CSR, where the insurance companies are actually getting money from the federal government to help pay parts of medical claims, which reduces the medical out-of-pocket expenses from this year it's $6,600 all the way down to as little as $400 if you're at a real low income level, or down to about $4,000. I mean, it has worked for those people in the lower incomes when, in fact, they're able to procure the coverage. There's been a lot of issues with the way the government has put forth this services that I don't totally agree with. I don't have a problem with helping people. I do think everybody should get a tax credit regardless. If you pay premium, it should be able to be written off your income tax. But there's parts of this law that won't allow that, because it really is more about taxation. And I have no problem with helping people. They have to have insurance. I mean, there's no question. But the problem we have is the system by which they're trying to get this coverage. And Xerox in Nevada has been an utter failure, and they're trying to get other contracts. It's kind of amazing how a company could fail greatly yet get contracts with the government. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you basically spoke of subsidies, and in order for the audience to understand the 138% of whatever and the other percentage you cited, what does that mean in layman's language?
We'll use an individual. If an individual makes about $16,000, an exact number is off the top of my head, I don't have. It's about $16,550 up to about $28,000, $29,000. You can receive a tax credit. So they range based upon where you fall in the matrix of the federal poverty level. And so the lower the income, the higher the tax credit, meaning the government's basically going to give you money towards your premium when you file your income tax at the end of the year.
Patrick,
Let him finish his point a second before, because that's key, that the people understand what they benefit and how they can benefit.
If you make between $16,500 and, let's say, $30,000 on an individual basis, and you can end up getting a tax credit up front, which basically reduces your premium. The reason I use the numbers that I use, the 138 to 250, is because there's two tax credits that you can participate in. One, the advanced premium tax credit reduces the premium, and then the cost sharing reduction, which helps reduce your premium, medical expenses, which is very good. That's the vital piece, because that's what lowers your out-of-pockets, lowers your deductibles, et cetera, whereas if you don't have those tax credits and if you don't qualify for cost-share reductions, the out-of-pockets have risen dramatically over the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, there's a big increase. People are yelling about the 25 to 50% increases that people are being hit for, depending on where they fall.
Well, Patrick, let me also ask you, if you're making 16, 25, 30,000 a year, there's a good chance you don't have much of a tax liability. So if you don't have a tax liability, or small, you may not be able to really take advantage of the tax credits. Is that right?
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I mean, if you make the idea is if you make under, let's just go to the 138th percentile. Let's say you only make, and let's a round number, $17,000. What the government's saying is you apply for the insurance. We know you only make $17,000. You don't qualify for Medicaid. So what we're going to do is we're going to help pay your premium. And I've seen premiums as low as 40 cents for somebody in a low-income position. And the out-of-pocket for that individual, 40 cents a month, because the government pays the premium. There's still a premium. The insurance company is still getting paid, you know, whatever premium it's supposed to be. It could be $200 or $300.
That's the subsidy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the subsidy, the government's paying the difference. We're giving you, they're taking it off the top.
Secondly, so you're actually getting a bill, or you're 40 cents a month if you're in that total income level.
Yeah. I have one client I saw that was paying 40 cents. They just moved here from Africana. And so their premium was 40 cents a month, and their out-of-pocket was only $400 with a zero deductible. Everything does apply towards your out-of-pocket.
Now, that was what you just quickly said there with a zero deductible, because that's the other thing people are yelling about. Deductibles are hitting people really hard.
Those deductibles are brutal. If you don't qualify for the premium tax credits and the cost sharing reduction, the out-of-pockets stink. But if you do qualify and you're in a lower income, you actually have very rich benefits. The problem with most of these plans throughout the country is they're mostly going to be HMO, and so you're pretty much stuck within the state boundaries that you purchase the insurance. So you're not going to be able to have national access.
Now you're talking access. How does that apply to the doctor of your choice or not?
There is no choice of doctors. You have to go to the choice that the doctors have that are provided by the carrier. So
same as any insurance
Nevada.
Company.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true, Mitch. Let's say you have a PPO. A PPO has national access. You go anywhere in the United States, and you receive benefits as though you're in your locale where you live right now, where you reside. But if you have an HMO, you're stuck within the state boundaries, and you're stuck with that specific network. Generally speaking, what an HMO does is it restricts you. It makes you have to go to a primary care doctor to get referrals to see a specialist. You're limited on hospital access unless it's an emergency, life-threatening emergency. And that's probably one of the big things out there that's hurting a lot of people. A lot of people use the emergency room, overuse the emergency room is a better word. And by doing that, what happens is the insurance companies can determine if that is an emergency, which means life-threatening. And if it's not, the consumer who uses that emergency room for something like a bronchitis could eat the entire bill. They could be responsible 100% for that claim because the insurance company can determine
it's
not an emergency.
Yeah. This is like the old pre-existing conditions argument that the insurance companies use. Well, you had this problem before. You should have gone to a regular MD. Well, I can't afford it, or I don't believe I can afford it. So maybe the reforms.
I won't agree with that.
Pardon?
I won't agree, and I'll tell you why I don't agree with that part.
Okay.
It's not pre-existing. Here's what they're saying, and this is part of the deal. The insurance companies are really handcuffed. They have to really be limited. They have to cover certain things automatically, so they're trying to steer you to go to an urgent care as compared to an emergency room.
Right.
If you go to an urgent care, you're going to get a copay, and if it's an emergency, the urgent care will instruct you to go into the hospital immediately. The problem is
they become the referral point. Now, what does a copay mean to the person going to the urgent care?
Well, in some cases, it could be $50.
Uh-huh.
So they go into that facility, and the doctor gives you an exam. It's $50 for urgent care, as compared to a primary care that could be as little as $15 or $20 or $30, depending on the health plan you purchase. And so let's say it's Saturday or Sunday, your doctor is not going to be open.
That's right.
So now you have a bad sore throat, or you're not really feeling very good. You're really feeling lousy. Well, some people tend to go to the emergency room. Well, the emergency room gets backlogged anyway, so you're going to be at 3 to 5 to 7 hours in some cases. But going to the urgent care, you get quicker care. You're in and out less than 2 hours usually. And the copay is only $50. The insurance company experiences a much lower expense as compared to the emergency room. The emergency room is basically going to a 5-star hotel.
Sure.
But you're getting 1-star service. So you're paying the brunt of that bill, whereas if you go to an urgent care, it's $50. You know you're not going to get buried and not get hammered.
Well, this is the the confusion in this whole thing, and the ballyhooing by the conservatives within the Republican Party especially, have done a lot to block that. Now that the Supreme Court has ruled that Obamacare, or as it's called, which is wrong, it should be called Romney Care, or the Heritage Foundation health care system was invented or created under their auspices years ago, has been the thing. But the real thing is the keeping the people ignorant of what their offerings really are. This is not publicized enough, and what you're saying here is that between 16 and 30,000, you go to urgent care for some minor thing, maintaining your status, not jeopardizing it, not having things thrown out and getting a big bill for showing up in the emergency room. But the big bill shows up, and what happens? They never collect it. The person files bankruptcy, or they don't pay it. They sit charge against them shows up in the circuit court, and there's hundreds of thousands of them in every county circuit court, and then money is never collected by the hospitals. The hospitals turn around, and it eats into the monies of the operating of each and every hospital. They do a write-off, and this thing is a circle.
You know, it's interesting. We had this conversation
yesterday. Before you move on,
my biggest problem.
Here, I just want to announce, if you want to call into the show, there's two numbers, 941-745-1490 or 347-989-0132. Both will work. The 347 number, you will not get a busy signal. 347-989-0132.
So what were you going to say, Pat?
Real simple. You know, the biggest problem I have, and I tell you what, when the Supreme Court came out with the ruling last week or 10 days ago, mm-hmm. it wasn't a surprise to me, but it was actually a good thing. My problem is that we have a situation where we have a split government. What I thought the president should have done is once he said, okay, the Supreme Court has determined that this law is now the law of the land, I expect both sides to come to the table, sit down, and let's fix the problems with the health care law. And the problem is that we have such a division in Washington, the consumers, you and I, are losing greatly. And I have a problem with that. And I also think what the government could be doing is the government could go regional and look at the reimbursements that carriers are giving these doctors and make that a flat number across the board, which would make things a whole lot easier. I think it's ridiculous that somebody can go to a hospital, be charged $50,000 without insurance, but if he doesn't have insurance, the bill's only $5,000. That $5,000 should be the charge across the board. You know, you're talking about going bankrupt and all that other good stuff. To me, it makes no sense that a hospital will want more money from somebody who wants to pay cash as compared to an insurance company's reimbursement. I mean, you know, the problem in America today is that the biggest problem in why medical expenses are so high, unlike some other countries, and I don't necessarily believe in a socialized medicine one-payer system. That doesn't always work. It's not working in all the nations that people think. But those nations try to control the cost of the delivery system of health care. And you can't lower rates until you lower the cost of reimbursements. And so until we take the big profit off the table for medical care, these hospitals make big bucks. Doctors are charging a lot of money. I mean, how explain to me how you can go to a hospital and have a surgery, they charge $50,000, but they take only $5,000 from an insurance company. Why not just take the $5,000 across the board from everybody and make
rate.
It easier for people to access care?
Well, you're talking about a fixed rate. And, I mean, even if you're on Medicare, it's an 80-20 thing. And if you don't have the backup plan under Medicare of the 20% that you're trying to cover, like with ARP or some of these other agencies, you're open to a big – I happen to fall under Medicare – and I had a huge set of bills that I had an aortic aneurysm couple of years ago, and nobody survives. I survived, but the bills from the insurance company are amazing. But
well, you know what's funny about what you said, though? When you look at your medical bill, the Medicare approved amount is 120% of UCR. So the government has a formula. So you go to the hospital, like in your aneurysm, the bill could be $100,000. But Medicare approved amount may only be $20,000. That's it. And so they pay the Medicare Part A and B pay their portion, and the 20% you're talking about would be under your supplement covers that $20,000, and the other $80,000 is written off.
Right.
My problem is Why bill you $100,000? Why not just bill? To me, that's just costing a lot of money. Because by the time you get done adjudicating a claim, I process the claim, I submit it to a carrier. It's going to take them X amount of time to adjudicate a claim and break it down from the $100,000 to get it down to the approved amount of $20,000. Why not just cut the chase, charge the $20,000, and save time, which will lower the cost of expenses to adjudicate that claim, pay the doctor what they're supposed to get paid, not play the game of let's make a deal. It's very unfair.
Well, you have another problem, Pat. I'm actually agreeing with you on this point.
I agree with Patrick as well.
Except that the hospitals, depending on the hospital we're talking about, Manatee Memorial Hospital up here in Bradenton is a privately owned hospital now. 2 or 3 years ago, it was publicly owned, or maybe a little longer.
About 20 years ago.
Well, but then the final sale did not complete until about 2 or 3 years ago. The final monies did not exchange. But Sarasota Memorial, which is rated a number one or two hospital in the state of Florida, is a countywide owned hospital. They run a tax bill up on you, on your tax bill. But the people don't want to lose that because the quality of care there is so superior to Manatee. Manatee's care was better at one time. I've been there. I've gone to Manatee, and it is shabby care, frankly. They're compared to two. But what I'm getting to is that the top head, the head of the Sarasota Hospital that just left, was getting over $800,000 without benefits, in a straight up salary. And this kind of gouging and whining about the costs and so forth. And then our governor comes along, this governor of Florida. Turns down $50 billion, not million, from the federal government on Medicaid expansion, won't refuse to do it. And in addition, just 2 days ago, turned down $9.5 million for urgent care for the poor in the county of Sarasota. So there's a real attitude.
And that's magnified per county across the state.
Right.
There's two points, you bring up the Medicaid expansion, but you know what's really interesting about the hospitals? You know, out of the top 10 hospitals that overcharge, 5 of them are in Florida. And it's interesting because if you go to those hospitals and you don't have any insurance, you go to a non-network facility, they charge up to 1,000% more than they would charge somebody with insurance. That's pretty
well,
ugly.
You have two problems in Florida. You have a transient society, meaning older people especially, coming down here to live year-round, and who don't have the capacity many times to really understand what they're getting. This complicated system that requires a payment of 30% of the revenue to insurance companies to maintain a capitalist system of for-profit health care is where I think the culprit is. I know you mentioned the European thing. I've been in a hospital in Europe some years ago, and a couple of times, and I got no bill. I got great care, the whole thing. This system here, and then you want to control costs with the medical people in particular. Well, most of the other countries, except for Canada, they have a limitation. Canada, if you make $500,000 a year, it used to be the case. It may not be now. Maybe more, but it was. If you made $500,000, you could no longer charge anybody for anything when you reached that limit as a doctor. Now. In Israel, which some years ago the average was $60,000 a year for a physician in Israel. We subsidize health care. We subsidize everything from this country to Israel. So we actually are in the business of supporting single-member payer.
Also, in Israel, if you get into the university, the state pays the tuition. If you get into medical school beyond that, the state pays the tuition. So when a physician...
Well, we're off track on that one, but yeah.
But that's one reason a physician... That's one reason a physician's not making the same kind of money because he didn't have all the expenses for his education.
Well, you can...
But I want to get back to Patrick's point, and that point was...
I'm not sure what you're getting back to.
Well, I'm about to say it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have insurance. The insurance negotiates a premium or a fee, which is a small percentage. Versus, like, I had surgery, and
this past fall in September, and the anesthesiologist sent me a bill for about $12,000, saying that my insurance company paid, I don't know, like $1,700, and it took me a few months to get my to get the hospital to realize that my insurance company, because they call my insurance company, and they say, well, we negotiated that down, but they came after me, and it took me months.
Since they came after you, the hospital did, right?
The hospital, I actually had to have a lawyer write a letter.
What was agreed upon between the carrier and the hospital was one number, and then when that number wasn't met, the hospital continued to pursue you for the money.
They wanted like the remainder of the $12,000.
Their contracting provider, they can't get that money.
I had to have a lawyer write a letter saying that he's insured and the insurance adjusted price, because we got that from the insurance company, should have been.
The point of what you see, and I have just recently had the same thing, and I have the 80-20 thing with the Medicare, and I got a bill from Shands in University of Florida for $1,100. It turns out that the ARP was supposed to pay it, didn't pay it. So what is continuing to happen here, Patrick, and I'm really looking for you to come up with, you've got ideas, it sounds like, how to resolve things, and I'm for that. But there's a real problem when you have elderly people who can't really do their business well or effectively. They're at the mercy of these bills showing up, and it terrifies people. So what they do is they'll sit down and write a check, even if they don't owe it. And all because we have an intermediary who collects 30% of the total health care bill, which is the insurance company, an agency for profit. So how do you answer that?
It's simple. First of all, if you go to with Medicare, you sound like you have Plan F supplement through ARP, not an Advantage plan. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, I can tell you right now, and I tell all my clients this, you have no out-of-pocket, you have no co-insurance, you have no co-pays.
Right.
You're covered 100%. It doesn't
but
matter. As long as that doctor is a participant in the Medicare system, you don't have a provider network. So what you do is you call up the medical office and say, I have Part F. I just want to know if you accept Medicare. As soon as they say yes, you can go to anywhere you want in the United States. If they say yes, you go in and it's covered at 100%. You have no co-pays, no deductible, no co-insurance. What will probably happen is you'll get what's called an explanation of benefits. And when you get that explanation of benefits, you have to read. It'll show you what the balance is, but it'll also say you are not responsible for this amount. And what you said about people writing out a check, it's like the IRS. If you get a bill from the IRS, you immediately pay it thinking you may not owe it, and people don't always read or research and take the time. You do need a professional to help you. I didn't realize until the healthcare law got passed that 1 in 5 brokers are worth their salt and the other 80% are garbage. Now, I understand the law, so my clients know to come to me, I adjudicate the claims. But on Medicare, it's clear. If you have a supplement, a Plan F, you have no out-of-pocket. No, you go to the doctor, it's carte blanche. Outside of the drugs, you have to have Part D. Now, in Mitch's case, if he goes to a hospital facility and has a service done, and he has a plan, whether it's a PPO or an HMO, as long as that's
an Obamacare PPO gold plan.
All right, if you have a gold plan PPO and it's a provider for the plan, they can't balance bill you. It's against. It's a breach of the contract that they have with
right.
the provider for the carrier.
If I were your broker,
what I would have done, and I'm doing this for my daughter now. I'm not the insurance agent for her company she works for, but I know what to write. I write a letter to the medical doctor's office or whoever's collecting, clearly explaining. Attaches in your explanation of benefits. It clearly states you're a provider. And by contract, you have with the insurance company, you are going to only you can only bill me or charge me for the percentage left over that is contracted. So, for example, in your $12,000 or $17,000 bill, let's say the insurance company negotiates it down to $1,700, just use that arbitrary number, and they say, okay, we're going to pay $1,600, you'd be responsible for $100. It's as simple as that. And if that's not in that paperwork, if they have explanation of benefits, says, okay, data services, the code, the amount charged, and it says no discount, it says this is not a provider, then I would argue and say you would owe the $1,700 or $17,000 because that's the way it works. But if you do it the other way, you do get the discount, and that's the way it's supposed to work. As far as
going
to Medicaid.
We're going to be going to break here shortly, Pat, and we'll come right back to you after the break.
All right. And if you'd like to call the show,
941-745-1490, or you won't get a busy signal at 347-989-0132.
This part of the Morning Edge is brought to you by Callens, Little, and Delgado, practicing personal injury, criminal defense, and family law. Call 941-749-1446. 941-749-1446. I may be crazy.
Filed with the FTC for over 15 years straight? Criminals are getting smarter, and they're not going away. That's why you need ID Shield. We provide the information and expertise to protect your identity and resolve issues related to identity theft. ID Shield offers powerful, proactive monitoring of your credit information so you can rest assured that your identity is always protected. Stay covered with benefits like quarterly credit score tracker, with monitoring of your TransUnion credit file on a secure website, black market website surveillance, with daily monitoring for unauthorized use of your social security number, credit card and bank account numbers, and any other personal information across the internet. In addition, you always have continuous credit monitoring that can be accessed immediately through your member dashboard. You even get minor identity protection, which monitors any fraudulent activity associated with your child's social security number. Additional benefits include payday loan monitoring to alert members when their personal information is associated with short-term, payday, or similar cash advance loans. Social Security number fraud detection, a search that detects potential fraud by searching your Social Security number in over 34 billion current public records. And even a sex offender registry report to see if your address has been used by a registered sex offender. In the unfortunate event you do become the victim of identity theft, ID Shield has partnered with Kroll, the worldwide leader in theft investigative services. When we detect a threat to your identity, we get working right away. Unlike other providers in the market, we don't waste time retaining an insurer to restore your identity. Our fully integrated partnership with Kroll allows their licensed investigators to handle your identity restoration. This includes, when applicable, sending fraud alerts to all three national credit repositories and correcting identity theft issues with affected banks, credit card companies, law enforcement agencies, and other institutions. Kroll is the best at what they do, and that's why we partner with them. On top of all this, you get ID Shield's $5 million service guarantee, which means if you become the victim of identity theft, we spend up to $5 million to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to restore your identity. No one else gives you that kind of peace of mind. So choose the ID Shield plan that's right for you. ID Shield Individual covers one person and is only $9.95 a month. ID Shield Family covers up to 10 people, you, your spouse or partner, and as many as 8 children, for just $19.95 a month. With our sex offender monitoring, ID Shield Family is a must for parents. Plus, the savings really add up. Compared to our major competitor, a family of four typically saves $400 a year. So arm yourself and your family with ID Shield today. Millions of people lose their identity every year. Don't be one of them.
All right, for more information about ID Shield, go to malletagency.com, M-A-L-L-E-T-T, agency.com.
All right, are we back with our guest here? I think we are.
Sarasota is home to a true...
All right, we're back. How you doing, Patrick?
We're back. Pat,
I'm doing very good, thank you.
You were making some points, and I cited a couple of other things. I think the complications that are resolvable through someone like yourself who knows and is informed are wonderful. The problem is the wonderful people like yourself are not around that much. And the confusion, and especially in the state of Florida, because we have a governor who blocks some Medicaid expansion, you may even agree with that. The point is that the poor are really being cut out, and they just cut out, as I said before, $9.5 million just to one county for basically indigent care at the last moment kind of thing. When you know Bernie Sanders is talking about single payer, Hillary I think is going to march out echoing that one, and they're all going to say the Affordable Care Act is a good system in Massachusetts. 98% of the people follow it. Heritage Foundation originated this. The Republican Party was all behind it when it was the Republican Party that took the credit. Now that the credit went and shifted to the Democrats, they're all nuts and crazy about it and can't stand it and all this and that and the other thing, predicting its failure, its doom, and trying their damnedest to do it, even if it means hurting the poor. So, you know, this contest of wills here, and you talk about divided government, it's divided government where the rich get health care, no complications, the poor scratch around, look, and the middle scratch around, try to figure out where in the hell they're going to get the health care they need in the emergent situation. What do we do about this, Pat?
Well, you know, there's 3 points. First of all, the Medicaid expansion. The problem is, the federal government funds it for only a short period of time, and after that, your state, each state will have to participate and have to pay a portion of it.
And it comes for the first 2 years is 100%.
3 years, right?
Or 3 years, and then it goes.
And actually, it's dwindling. It's 3 years, but it's the clock has already started ticking. So I think you've already lost a year. But after that, after the 100%, then it falls on the state to come up with money. And so your governor is saying, "Hey, we can't afford this."
No, our governor.
That's what he's saying.
This governor.
Well, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I'm just giving you the rationale behind what he's saying.
I'm answering the point you're making. It falls to 90%. It didn't fall to zero or to 50%. It fell to 90. The state has to pick it up, and that was the constant argument. And it turns out the Koch brothers have poured money into even the legislative campaigns of the Republican Party to the extent that they should kill any Medicaid expansion help for the poor.
Well, you know, the sad part about it is you're most of the states that are killing the Medicaid expansion are in the Southeast, Alabama, stuff like that. And that's really terrible you can't qualify for Obamacare if you're at Medicaid money. So the way to get around that, and this is terrible to say, but what if a client doesn't want to go on Medicaid, there's no penalty to say I make $17,000 to receive the tax subsidy to get that health insurance. So there is a penalty to a consumer who says I make $17,000 but makes $40,000. They'd have to pay money back. That being said, the one-payer system model that you were talking about, you know, will be – and I've said this numerous times. I told this to Mitch yesterday. The United States of America may, in fact, be a one-payer system, maybe two-payer in the next 2 years when Anthem absorbs Cigna. Aetna's going to buy Humana, and UHC is going to buy Aetna. So you're going to have two carriers.
Yeah.
But because of our structure, you'll have two carriers. We'll be the only nation with a one- or two-payer system, which means you'll have a premium, a deductible, and a coinsurance. Whereas in other countries, they just pay a higher tax rate. There's no premium, there's no deductible, there's no coinsurance. Because a true one payer, the government reimburses the medical facility out of the tax dollars that they charge. Now,
in order to do that, they have to raise revenue and fund it. And in Europe, primarily, that comes through the energy tax, especially gasoline for the automobiles. That's why gas costs double.
You know, generally, it would make sense, you would think, but in Canada, because my partner is a Canadian, and he actually lives in Canada, access to care gets limited. Like, they only do surgeries 4 days a month, whereas compared to the United States, we do about 28 days a month we do a surgery, a specific surgeon. And that's why there's sometimes you'll hear about the 6 or 9 month waiting period for an MRI, et cetera. My issue with the entire system, the way it's set up right now, is that it doesn't make sense. And the government, when our government specifically, when they set up a tax fund and they generate revenue, they say we're going to allocate it for this or for that. They spend the money unwisely. They don't watch the money properly. The biggest problem with Medicare has been the Medicare fraud. Medicare, by its own admission, spends $80 billion a year on fraud. To me, what they could have done is contracted an insurance carrier to adjudicate the claim for pennies on a dollar and save that $80 billion by simply looking at the claims being submitted by the physicians. Florida is pretty much one of the states where Medicare fraud is very high with regard to overtesting, et cetera. It's impossible for an insurance carrier to get hit with the fraud that the government's paying. The government pays the claims, and then they try to get the money 2 or 3 years later. if a carrier receives 10 bills for services rendered in one day from a same position, they know that's impossible because each service takes 3 hours. So they know there's a fraud being perpetrated.
You just cited a private service, basically, from a private carrier that would do or help with keeping on top of, before the money goes out the door too quickly, the cost of operation. The history has been for-profit corporations look at profit, and their stockholders look at profit, and they really don't care much about much else. And the government is always is the dog you beat, and because it doesn't do what business does. I was in business. I had a corporation for 15, 20 years, and we operated on a low profit level, but we operated. I had union workers, all of that sort of thing. I understand what business is about. But government is not about business, in truth. And when you bring for-profit business into government, you mix them together in the wrong circumstance. I think in a utility, for one, and I think healthcare really falls in the category of a utility. Now you have a different ballgame. Right now, in the state of Florida, we have a utility that's screwing the hell out of the state, and it's Florida Power and Light. They're blocking, through legislation of the legislature, the solar system from being individually owned and so forth. I cannot go as an individual in the state of Florida, at least, and negotiate my health bill before I get it. In other words, I can't say to, or have my representatives say to the hospital, hey, look, looks like I got this and this. What do you think the cost is going to be? Give me an estimate. And if you can't give me the estimate, I want to go to a different hospital that will beat the price and give me the same care. How do we do that?
Well, it's interesting. Insurance companies actually have that published. That's going to be the new – it's funny you bring that up. That's going to be one of the newer ways that you're going to see how insurance companies pay claims. So what you're going to start to see is an insurance carrier, whoever's left, is going to set it up this way. They're going to say, okay, we have – you want to go in for a knee replacement. We have three contracted providers. You can go to any one of these three. The difference is provider A is going to charge $100. Provider B is going to charge $200, and provider C is going to charge $300. We're going to pay $125. A maximum we're going to reimburse is $125. So if you choose doctor number three, you're going to pay the $175. We'll pay the $125. If you go to doctor number one, we're reimbursing a maximum $125. He's only charging $100. We're going to pay the $100. You pay nothing. And so that's actually going to come down the pike for testing, because the proof is out there. If you look at LASIK surgery 10 years ago and you look at it now, you could shop it and get a better deal. It's like when a woman wants to go in for breast augmentation or reduction, they can shop to find out who does what for what price.
Exactly.
You're paying cash,
exactly.
And you get a better deal. And that makes sense. But here's the other thing that's interesting. The insurance companies are also going to – you're going to see ratings on the doctors as well. So you could go to a doctor who charges $100 as compared to $300. And he may have a five-star rating, so why would you want to go to somebody because they charge more money? The higher they charge doesn't mean you're going to get better service. I mean, those are some of the things that are out there, and that's going to come down. That's going to happen. That will happen in the near future.
Right now, in terms of what we're talking about here, there is a situation. I've got a torn meniscus that's been re-torn, I believe. I've got my left knee. It gives me trouble. And I could get a 3D application of a knee, not cutting off my leg and putting in a steel thing and all this terribly expensive thing. But if I do it myself, I can get it done. The recovery is a couple of days, and they can 3D replace my knee with a bone material, not a steel thing, and give me effectively a new knee. This is the latest stuff, and stem cell therapy is being applied to all kinds of things, but it's not approved for people. And so as a consequence, the old system of steel knees and all of that stuff that doesn't last very long and gives people constant trouble and a lengthy recovery is being shut out. So where are we in that category?
Before you answer, I just want to say, if you're in the queue, and we have quite a few callers who call the 347 number, all you have to do is hit the one button, and that will tell us you want to participate.
You know, when you talk about that specific service,
right?
Unfortunately,
that's part of the reason why the United States arguments, or doctors in the States argue that they can charge so much money because of research and development. I don't necessarily believe they need to gouge people. I'm on your side. The research and development for stem cell outside the United States is pretty amazing. I was just reading about Gordie Howe and John Brody, both former athletes. One's a quarterback, one's a hockey player, who used stem cell research to help them stay alive, and now they're still flourishing. They're having some quality of life. Gordie Howe was gone, and now he's rehabbing. I mean,
I've talked to doctors here who believe that this is where the future really is. Ordinary general practices, GPs, and they're saying that the stem cell situation is so advanced and we're so blocked, and we can thank what I call our past gee whiz president, and he does live up to that reputation every day. I'm afraid his brother's not far behind. In any event, it was the blockage of the stem cell research that have caused us to fall way behind in healthcare. And this, to the extent that, and up until recently, you could not create an eye with stem cell therapy. Now they found a way to do it, and they're getting so they can replace almost everything in your body one by one, like a used car, and turn you into something much healthier than you were. So I think this.
We have a caller.
Okay.
Nope.
We don't have the caller. We lost the caller. We had a caller before, but this one caller is a different kind of caller, so we're just going to leave him out of the mix. If the other caller who keeps calling and wants to ask a real question, I'd invite him on.
It's Lawrence.
Well, we don't name names. I don't anyway. In any
Here
event, so.
All right, Jeanette.
I think we do have a caller after Pat.
Hello?
Jeanette?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
You're on the air, Jeanette. What's up?
The point that you brought out earlier about how complex the bills are, you have to consider that people that are in a healthcare setting are in pain, they're sick, they're already stressed. They're in an environment where they're out of their home, their mail piles up, and then they come home. The confusion is preyed on by these, companies. I think legislation to simplify the benefit explanation letter that's sent out is really in order. It's not fair to our senior citizens, the current system.
Let me say this, okay? A lot of those explanation of benefits are a lot easier than you think, but I would stress to you, Jeanette, and anybody else out there, whoever you buy your insurance from, make sure that that individual understands that they're going to process those claims, and they're going to, in other words, they can at least give you the time. I have clients that are no longer my client. In other words, they went from a group benefit to a Medicare supplement that I wrote. They call me up on the phone. I have no problem going out or having them come in to read their medical bills to show them what they owe or they don't owe. A good friend of mine recently, I was at his house Monday, had about 9 bills. He didn't owe any money. It's pretty simple. If you buy an Advantage plan, there are copays, and your copays are limited to anywhere from $200 to $2,500 depending on the plan you purchase. If you buy Plan S and you utilize a doctor who's a Medicare, takes Medicare, doesn't matter whether he's a provider, it's just a Medicare doctor, you have no out-of-pocket. You have paid no copays, no nothing. I don't care what the bill is. Part A, Part B cover 80%. Part F pays the balance of 20%. You have no out-of-pocket. The biggest problem is...
And that's through AARP?
AARP? There's a lot of carriers that offer. You don't have to buy AARP. You could buy any Plan F from any carrier. And this is an interesting point, and then I got to run myself. If you buy a Plan F, I don't care if it's from company A through G, doesn't matter. And the Plan F plan, it could be Anthem, it could be Guardian, it could be ARP, it could be United Healthcare. Doesn't matter who you buy. Every Plan F is the same. So when you become Medicare eligible, you kick the tires. The rates are the rates are the rates. So if company A charges $99.95 and company B charges $150, it doesn't really matter. They're going to reimburse the same amount of money. Your coverage is identical. It's mandated by the federal law, A through whatever plans you purchase, they have to be the same. They can enhance the plan, but they can't change the benefits. So if you buy Plan F, you have no copays, no deductibles, no co-insurance.
Hold on, keep going, Pat. WWDR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.
Stay on.
So if you're a senior citizen, in this thing, a lot of people get nervous. Like, for example, in Nevada, you can buy a Plan F to Cigna for as little, if you're a woman, for $138. It does go up a little piece by piece every year. But if you buy a Plan F, you have no out-of-pocket, no copay. The other thing about Plan F, they have a high deductible plan. I think it pays, you pay the first $2,140, and after that, it picks up 100%. Depending on where you are in the financial matrix, you may want to buy a high deductible plan, okay, and put yourself in a position whereby you pay only $60 or $50 a month for that premium, depending where you are in the country.
Well, you know,
this is where you need a sophisticated agent.
Well, this is, I'm going to get to that point. You can make some final statement, Pat. You offer some sophistication and some solutions. I think the real and you're out. Where are you located?
I'm in Las Vegas.
You're in Las Vegas. You're
I'm in Nevada.
Do you have a?
No, I'm in Nevada.
In Nevada. So you're in Nevada. So
let me give out your phone number. Someone wants to reach you in Nevada.
Well, let's use your phone number for one thing, but let's end with the phone number. But my point is, if you could affiliate with someone in Florida, or can you? That's the question.
Yeah,
can you help?
Actually.
So
yeah.
Maybe
to be honest with you, I can help people regardless whether I'm their agent or not by giving them free counsel. It's not hard. If they have mm-hmm. Plan F, it's a no-brainer. And
okay.
I think it's the biggest problem out there.
They don't understand that. They don't believe that. They do not understand that. So why don't we do that? We'll end with your phone number. We have a caller, do we?
We have another caller.
One last call, and we'll give your phone number out.
Caller, please say at least your first name and where you're calling from.
Caller? We have another caller? What's up, caller? Afraid not. All right.
Just speak up.
Do we have the caller there?
You're using a Mac.
Well,
anyway.
My name is Patrick Casal. I work for the MultiCare Group. My phone number is 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. If you have questions, we have answers. I have no problem helping anybody. I mean, you can reach me on the email and internet. You can email me at patrick@multicarebenefits.com. You send me emails. I'll be more than happy to answer your emails. I will tell you this. It's not as complicated as the government and other people want to make it seem. I'm telling you, it is the biggest problem in healthcare today is communication and understanding.
Pat, let's show them. And I'm going to be gone starting on Friday for a couple of weeks or a little under. But if we can get you back in a couple of weeks and have this conversation again, and we can put out the information in a simplified form for people.
And we do have a caller with a question.
Do you have a caller?
Chuck from New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Oh, Chuck from New Bedford.
Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Chuck. Are you there? Oh, we're not picking up. We're having a technical.
Chuck, if you're mute, but we don't have any problem on our end, so unmute yourself.
But I hate to be rude. I got to run. I have an appointment to be on in about 20 minutes.
Thank you very much.
Pat, let's try this again in a couple of weeks or so and
I look forward to the same thing.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. Bye now.
And this has been The Morning Edge. I will see you on Wednesday, on Friday, but by phone myself. And affordable care, that's what we need for the people who need it the most. So thank you so much. And thank you, Mitch.
So thank you. And we're out of here.
Force a number of evacuations to take place in Indianapolis as well. Should a statue of Jesus be allowed to remain on U.S. Forest Service property in Montana? The Justice Department defends it and says that the 6-foot statue is not a government endorsement of religion. This is SRN News.